Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:23. That is Pacific Summer Time, and today is November 1st. Well, this has been a day where we've had a lot of news flow, but perhaps most importantly is that just about everything that is really very overextended relative to the trend mean has pulled back in here today. So Nvidia was down about 3%. Amazon, having pulled back very sharply on Friday, being a bit firmer yesterday, was also down in here today. So, you know, then you look at Brazil, where the index pulled back by over 2%. And, you know, as of yesterday's close, it was about 10,000 points overextended relative to the trend mean. So even despite the fact that it has had an incredibly impressive rebound this year, it is overextended in the short term, and that it is looking more likely than not that we're going to get at least some consolidation of what has been a very powerful advance. When we look at Europe, the majority of indices were right there in the region of their trend means and the upper side of their respective ranges, and the majority of them pulled back in here today. Now the DAX was, which has been a relative strength leader and has been ranging above its trend mean, was down by 1.3%. So that range continues. But in Italy, the index was down 1.32%, and that is encountering resistance in the region of the trend mean. It's a pretty similar story for the majority of the Italian banks. Particularly UniCredit, which had staged perhaps the most impressive rally, has now pulled back from the region of the 200-day moving average as well. Of course, there is this referendum that is coming up in Italy, and there's even now some talk in Italy about potentially delaying it until next year. And we'll have to see how that goes, and I think a lot will depend on what the polls are likely to be. But of course, the whole problem that Italy has is really going to focus attention now because of the earthquakes and the amount of time, effort, and money that it is going to take to rebuild where possible or even practicable. And the normal circumstances for an event like that would be that the currency would go down a bit, there'd be a supplemental budget, and there would be emergency measures put in place. But Italy is very constrained in what it can achieve because of its membership of the Eurozone. And it is really open to question whether that is going to inform the commentary of, or at least the argument as for whether the ruling political establishment, with their support coming from Frankfurt and Brussels, whether they really are. It is in the best interest of the Italian public to give them more power. So it is very much an open question. And Italian government bond yields broke above their 200-day moving average last week and have improved on that performance this week, which is a major break in trend in terms of price. Now, the ECB has got these self-imposed rules about how much of a country's debt it can buy, and those rules are likely to be put under pressure. It already has a substantial portfolio of Italian bonds, and if it is going to, or I guess if those yields are going to pull back, then it is going to be as a result of the ECB increasing the quantity of Italian bonds that it is willing to buy. It is very much the quid pro quo of a Eurozone membership that what countries get in return for their adherence to the fiscal constraints of Eurozone membership is unfettered buying of their bonds in order to allow the country to fund its basic services. So what happens in terms of Italian yields are important, and there was, you know, a poll in here today suggesting that Italy is more likely to leave the Eurozone, excuse me, the EU, than Greece. So there is a lot to play for. And then, of course, because we have a short-term overbought condition, that as those indices were right in the region of their trend means that there is room now for consolidation. But perhaps the the bigger story here today was that the dollar was weaker. And the dollar was weaker for a number of reasons. Among those was that when we look at where we are in terms of the political fallout from the director of the FBI opening an investigation into a presidential candidate within 10 days of the election, then the market has taken fright somewhat. So the dollar was a bit weaker in here today, and most particularly against the euro. The euro was up by 75 ticks. It's back above 110 now. And because the dollar was weaker, precious metals, they've been just looking for a reason to rally, and they have been in many respects held back by the relative strength of the dollar. So gold was stronger by $11 today, silver by 56 cents, and that sees silver now breaking upwards. Platinum improved upon its performance and it's closing in on the $1,000 area. Its high today was at $999. Palladium, which was perhaps the most short-term oversold of the four precious metals, was stronger today by over $15. So, a pretty emphatic move on the upside here. And considering how much risk there is out there, and most particularly risk that we are going to have a additional stimulus in one form or another, there is very much an open question as to whether that is going to be the quantitative easing that we have become largely accustomed to over the last 7 years. I think there is increasing acceptance within central bank circles that it is simply not working in terms of getting the objective done of increasing inflation. What it is definitely doing is increasing asset prices, and that might have been desirable when asset prices were very low, but perhaps not quite so desirable when asset prices are really very high. What it does suggest is that we're going to have fiscal stimulus, and that is just a very simple way of putting money in the hands of consumers and attempting to get economic activity moving at a very basic level, because the credit transmission mechanism by making money available to the banking sector and they then lending it out was obviously impaired because we had a credit crisis recession and banks had no choice but to rebuild their balance sheets and hoard cash. What that also, of course, means is that in order to fund the fiscal spending that is looking increasingly likely in the US, in Japan, and potentially even in Europe, despite the fact that they have been through at least 7 years of rather intense fiscal contraction, well, they're going to have to print bonds. And one of the things that has allowed bond prices to get so high and yields to get so low is because central banks were buying them. But if fiscal spending is the answer, then an additional supply of bonds is going to have to come into the market, and bond investors are going to demur from buying them unless the central bank is also buying them. That momentum trade was great for everybody as long as it was underway, but if central banks are changing strategy, then there is the potential that we're going to have higher interest rates overall, and most particularly at the long end of the curve, because long duration is really very susceptible or very much at risk from higher interest rates overall, and therefore it is where the greatest potential is for higher yields overall, and not least because yields are incredibly low at the long end of the curve. And that is also, rather bullish for the precious metals, because if we're going to have additional supplies of bonds and fiscal spending, where debt to GDP ratios go up, well, what does that say other than the fact that governments and monetary officials are trying their level best to inflate away the problem? And if the value of currency goes down, then the value of something that cannot simply be printed into existence goes up just by virtue of the fact that everything else is going down in value. So there is the potential that that gold and the precious metals do bounce here from the region of their 200-day moving averages. This has been really very encouraging over the last 3 days, and most particularly since I had a position that was really heavily underwater for what felt like an eternity, and it is just beginning to start to come right here. But the market doesn't care what I feel. What is more important is that the recent lows hold during any consolidation, that the upper dynamics that we've seen today and last Friday are rather encouraging, but that they absolutely need to hold, and most particularly as gold gets back up towards the $1,300 area, that platinum is back in the region of $1,000, which is a psychological area, and silver has really only just broken out, so it isn't quite in the region of a potential area of resistance just yet. If this is the return to demand dominance, then they should just cruise through those levels. We will see what happens over the next while. Now, in here today, gasoline prices popped on the upside because of a pipeline explosion, but we're not able to hold the advance. And in fact, oil prices, having been in positive territory at the beginning of the day, actually closed out the day in negative territory. And also, natural gas has been pulling back really rather sharply. It's down almost 16 cents in here today and becoming really quite oversold in the short term. But the fact that oil prices cannot hold a rally, and that is despite the fact that OPEC, it was actually on news that OPEC has agreed on its on cutting back some supply. But the reality is, of course, that nobody believes them. That especially when just about every member of OPEC right now faces really quite acute budgetary constraints, that trying to get cooperation on cutting back supply is very much akin to herding cats. So it is a very exciting period of time, and likely to become increasingly more exciting, because what we are seeing is that at least some risk is being priced into the market that Hillary Clinton might not in fact win the US election. And we are also seeing that it's a very active period of time in terms of corporate earnings. I think that this is certainly not the time to be chasing anything, because there is the potential that shares that are very overextended are going to move into processes of mean reversion, and it could result in a pause overall in stock markets. And of course, the VIX index was a little bit firmer again in here today, and that really is worth watching, because we have been through a very inert environment overall on stock markets, and the S&P 500 is today right in the region of its 200-day moving average, and this is really where it needs to find support. And the next area of potential support is around the psychological 2000 level. If it were to sustain a move below 2000, that would confirm a failed upside break. It would be then trading well below the 200-day moving average. And a rule of thumb from the chart seminar is that a failed upside break, and particularly if the dynamic of the failure is greater than the dynamic of the breakout, well, then you go right down and test the lower side of the range, and the lower side of the range is below 1800. So what happens in the next few days could be potentially pivotal, and I think it is certainly a time to be really keeping an eye on stocks in particular. And I think with that, I'm going to leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.